Well, if that song doesn't put you in a joyful mood for the things of God and for heaven, then you must be pretty discouraged tonight. And I hope that's not the case. I hope you found the joy in that. The victory that we have in Christ is something that should give us joy every day in the midst of all that we face. And boy, it's certainly good to know in the midst of all that we face as a country and in our world today and the uncertainty even of the next few months, to know that in the end, Jesus has the victory. He is the victor. And so whatever happens in between, it's only for a limited time. Jesus will return and straighten this old crooked world back up again and make it the way that it's supposed to be. In the meantime, we are supposed to follow the light. And that's what we've been looking at today, Ephesians chapter 5. The whole focus of this, as Paul turns in, it works together, but it's a change in imagery from putting off the old man, the old self, and putting on the new life that we have in Christ. Now he turns that imagery into not following the darkness any longer, but following the light that is God and all of his attributes and his character. And I really think it also refers to God as light. If you want to think of light and the whole concept, the strongest, powerful concept of light, you would think of the holiness of God as that light. Regardless, he is our light. And the more that we are following in Jesus, Jesus as our light as well, the more we'll reflect that light ourselves. And so we're going to continue this passage this morning. We saw that we need to follow the loving example of Jesus and the love that the Father has for us as beloved children, that we need to follow and imitate Him to pattern our lives after His righteousness and the pattern of righteousness that we see in His Word. And of course, that's only through the work of the Spirit. That's not something that we can do in and of ourselves. But again, as we've seen so often, what God calls us to live out in our lives, He enables us to be able to do through Jesus' power, through the Spirit. We also need to follow the Father through the example of the love of His Son. And we saw just in one brief verse, the sacrifice, Jesus willingly offering Himself up for our sins. And that kind of love should motivate us, right? To want to serve Him more faithfully. And He will enable us to do that. Then in contrast to that, we saw a number of verses here going through a long list of things that believers, that the church should not be involved in. We reject the dark deeds of the disobedient because we're not disobedient children anymore. We're children of our Father and we belong to a heavenly kingdom. So we reject all the impurity of sin. And we reject the actions of those that are still in darkness. They shouldn't even be named among us. And again, that list. Now tonight, as we finish up, we're going to start in verse 9 of chapter 5. And we're going to go through verse 14. We're going to finish this message, Follow the Light, part 2. But we're going to read the whole passage together so we have that synergy and remember where we've been from this morning. We're going to read this whole passage from verses 1 to 14, pray, and then look at these final verses from 9 to 14. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor crude joking, jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no one who is sexually immoral, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all those things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Lord, give us light tonight as we want to understand your word. And remind us, even as we've sung so many times, that we tonight that we have victory. And we need to live as victorious people, not being involved in the darkness of the world. There's enough of that around us already, Father. We as believers, as faithful children who are loved by you, need to act in a different way to reflect and shine the light of Jesus' love to a world that still so desperately needs it and seeks it. And so may we do that even in Village Chapel Baptist Church, and give us more of a commitment and understanding as we continue through this passage tonight. Help us to live it out this week, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, tonight, in the last part of this passage, we're going to see our need to follow the light of the Lord Jesus. And in verse 9 it begins, we need to live a life that is spiritually fruitful. And we can do that because we have the Holy Spirit within us to help us and to grow and mature the fruits of the Spirit within us. Now, you know, in the book of Galatians, we have a long list of the fruits of the Spirit. But we're in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9, and we're given a much smaller list here. And Paul, again, has said, don't follow all those attitudes and the filthiness of the world. Don't let that be a part of your life, but instead let the fruit of the Spirit, or another translation that would be just as accurate, for the fruit of that light, the light of Christ that shines in, is, and it gives a list here, goodness and righteousness and truth. So we have here fruit that the Spirit works within us as we follow the light of Christ. This word for goodness here really is an all-encompassing word for full spiritual health and well-being. Really a full sense or seal of approval of its worthiness. In other words, that we live life in such a way that we reflect the worthiness of the goodness of God. That seal of approval that you find on food and vegetables and different things. It's saying this has been found worthy to be able to be useful to whoever's going to purchase it and useful to their bodies or whatever. In the same way, this sense of goodness is saying this person is filled with spiritual health and is good for the work of ministry. They are good intrinsically. And that comes through a faithful walk with the Savior and the work of the Holy Spirit within us. That there be no rottenness in us, like the filthiness we talked about this morning. No rot. Just as when you have a vegetable or a piece of fruit, when it may look good on one side and you turn it over and there's maybe a small spot or a large spot and you find out that it's penetrated into the fruit and a good portion of the fruit is rotten. Well, believers shouldn't be an example in that way. But no, we should be good and healthy all the way through to be a right example, to be fully useful. I think we get the idea here. Righteousness. Now, when we hear righteousness, a lot of times we think of the word in regards to what I'll call our forensic righteousness. Excuse me. We receive that through Christ when we put our faith and trust in Him, and we receive His righteousness. We're declared righteous, and God sees His Son's righteousness through us. But in this instance, what Paul's referring to is our experiential righteousness that we continue to grow in. we continue to show the fruits of righteousness in that, and the fruits of our declaration of Jesus' righteousness toward us. We're supposed to be reflecting more and more of Jesus' character in our lives and His righteousness. And one day when He returns and we are glorified, we will fully reflect that righteousness. It will be realized. We will experience that in a full sense. Our declared righteousness will one day fully match our righteous conduct when Jesus returns. But in the meantime, folks, even though we're not the ultimate example that we should be of Jesus' righteousness right now, we ought to be a decent example of it. People ought to see us and see the character of Christ coming out in our lives because of the spiritual health that is in us. And so again, there shouldn't be any filthiness or rottenness, but goodness and this righteousness that we've just described. And then finally, again, this idea of truth, and that truth is the attribute of God that should be reflected in the lives of His children. And, you know, Paul focuses a lot on truth as well in these passages. He wants us to live lives that are authentic. Is what you show on the outside when we're together, when we're worshiping together, does that match what's really going on in the inside? Are you being honest about where you're at spiritually? Now, that doesn't mean, don't misunderstand me, I'm not giving credence to the idea that I have a special service where everybody comes up and we expect that you're going to unload on us all the sins that you're dealing with. First of all, that would be a long service, right? And there are things really that are only appropriate that can be taken care of between you and God. We don't need to know all of the baggage. Aren't you thankful for that? Praise the Lord that you can get that taken care of. But folks, we ought to be able to be authentic within the church of who we really are. To follow, to be truthful. And how do we do that? By following the truth of God's Word. The more the truth of God's Word works its way and its power within us, the more we'll want to be authentic and want to be real in our relationships with other people. So these are the fruits of walking in that light. We ought to have goodness. We ought to have righteousness and truth. Isn't that a much better list than what we looked at this morning? Praise the Lord for that list. And we can go to other fruits, lists of the fruits of the Spirit, like I said in Galatians and elsewhere, and see the type of work that walking in the light, walking worthy of our calling, that will produce. What does this do then? Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And really, that is the idea of trying to discern what is pleasing unto the Lord. Proving is the idea of testing or examining and testing everything in our lives. Does this please God? Would this rate God's approval, this activity? And by the way, folks, the only way that we can really successfully do that is to talk to God and to let Him in on our plans and on our choices and decisions. If you have a question about whether there's something that you should be involved in, is God really pleased with this? Well, certainly, you ought to go to Him and talk to Him and ask Him, Lord, are you pleased? Jesus, is this something that should be involved in my life? This entertainment choice, this media choice, this activity that I'm using my time for. I want to discern, Lord, what is pleasing to you. Really, we ought to bring all of our activities under the examination of God's light, that picture of Him as light. The light of God will illuminate all of our activities, and God will let us know if what we're doing is pleasing to Him. We also measure them according to Scripture commandments and principles. And we add, and that way, in everything, literally, everything that we do, God can give us discernment on whether those things are pleasing to Him. Well, folks, in our lives, we many times get involved in foolish things that we just would have gone to God and asked Him and checked with and measured it with the principles and His commandments. we would realize, no, that's not a good choice. I need to do something else. So, that's a part of living in the light that God gives us, is that He helps us to have discernment in every choice that we make. In this word here then, proving what is acceptable. Acceptable means well-pleasing. And it refers to what's well-pleasing to God. And really, this is the goal of the Christian life after we're saved, is that we want to reflect Jesus' character better and what's pleasing to God. And it's an ongoing activity. We're to constantly test all the time. Lord, is this acceptable to you? Lord, how about this? Is this acceptable to you? I knew of an individual, a leader, that had some trouble with this, just kind of a side note, this idea of pleasing God, because he would point out that, well, none of us can really, in a technical sense, please God. That's why we need Jesus and we need His grace. And that's true. And so please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that somehow we can please God in our own efforts. I think we understand that. But God's Word is clear here, though, that when we're submitted to the Spirit, we can do the right things and be involved in the right actions that are pleasing to God, that are a sweet savor to Him. And so this is an acceptable picture of what Paul's trying to point out here. And we can live lives that are acceptable. But another thing that we need to do, though, in the midst of all this, is, yes, live a life that is spiritually fruitful, but also reject a lifestyle that bears little fruit. Now we're back to that list that we looked at earlier in verse 11, kind of encapsulates all this. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And really what Paul is saying here is we need to encourage other believers in their fruit bearing. Don't share in the works of darkness, but encourage others to continue to follow after the light of Jesus Christ in their lives and grow and mature and be fruitful. Don't share in the filthy deeds that Paul has talked about earlier. And I don't know, this brought to mind a church potluck that I've experienced in the past. And if you've ever been to a church potluck, we haven't been able to have many of those this year, and that's kind of sad, especially because we have so many good cooks in our midst. But you know, and when you're in a large church, sooner or later, well, some dishes just don't rate as good as others. And I remember an experience at least a couple times or with other people where you get up to a certain dish and somebody that's already gone through the line, maybe a family member or whatever, kind of gives you the look like, hey, don't, no. Like, I've tasted it, you know, already. Are they looking? Okay, no, don't try that. Okay, don't share in that. It's not good, you know. And so you try to carefully, okay, I'll just scoot this over here and I'll put this on my plate. Because as kind as people are wanting to share their food, when you have a dish that doesn't taste well or there's something that's tainted, that's something that shouldn't be shared with the whole congregation, right? Well, when we have darkness and our lives are tainted, our deeds shouldn't then be shared with the rest of the congregation. But rather, they should be reproved. Now, does verse 11 then mean that we should have no fellowship with unbelievers at all because we shouldn't be involved in their wickedness and in their deeds? Well, in one sense, if you've rejected God, everything that you do is in a sense wicked. Because even the good things that you do are done for yourself. They're not done for God, not for His glory or anything like that. But do we then just say, I can't fellowship at all with unbelievers? Well, no. We need to be involved in evangelistic relationships. They don't walk in light like we do. They have no idea. But what we need to be careful is not to participate in their deeds while we're establishing those friendships and evangelistic relationships with them. They need to see that we're walking in the light, not in their darkness. Pastor Tim Potter of Grace Church of Mentor. I've mentioned him many times as a good friend of mine and a mentor as well. He really, over the last decade, has really led his church in this discipleship evangelism and evangelistic relationships. And it started with a conviction in his heart that he needed to reach the people closest to him in his neighborhood with the gospel and to establish friendships with them so that it felt more natural. Again, I've said this many times, but he says, it's much easier to give the gospel to a friend. Well, he was so successful at this, neighbors, and he would walk around town and go shopping and different things, and people would recognize him and constantly be saying, "Hey, Tim, how you doing?" and so on. And he would get invited to parties on the block, sometimes block parties in their neighborhood. And he would go and make an appearance just to fellowship, but there was a lot of things at those parties that he had no business being a part of. And he didn't engage with the alcohol drinking or anything like that. But it didn't take very long with his testimony for those folks to realize, "Oh, hey, that's Pastor Tim. Hey, Pastor Tim's here. Hey, whatever you do, don't give him any alcohol. I mean, don't waste that on him. He's not interested." And he had a testimony and was the light of Christ to those people, but he didn't get involved in the filthy things that they were involved in. And that's a good illustration for us as well. We can do both. We are instead, when other believers are involved in the filthiness and dirtiness of the world, as sooner or later we all are, whether we mean to or not, God has one of the purposes of the church and for our relationship together is for the rest of us to shine the light of God on those things so that those that are in doing those dark deeds that should know better are reminded, "I shouldn't be doing these things." That when we have believers that are involved in these works of darkness that shouldn't be a part of their lives, our responsibility, if we know about that, is to shine the light of truth on their lives so that they will repent. Shine the light on their dark deeds to shame and to bring repentance. And to warn them against all of the deeds that Paul mentioned earlier, all those things about filthy communication and immorality. Believers, the church members, shouldn't have any of those involved in those in their lives. So the rest of us, our ministry, part of our ministry as the church, is to shine the light of truth on that situation and remind those folks, you're not living in the new life that you have a part of in Christ. And you need to turn from that. By the way, on the other side of this, verse 12, it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And folks, one evidence of our new life in Christ is shame over the deeds of darkness that we allow in our lives. Unbelievers many times will respond, if you confront them, with indignation and offense. "How dare you say that what I'm doing is wrong? Hey, you know, I choose this and, you know, this is my judgment call and I have the right to do this and be involved in this sin. And actually, you're wrong for calling my sin wrong." We know that. We see that in our world today where unbelievers, when they're confronted with the truth of the gospel, they just kind of look at that and say, "Why should I care about that?" But folks, if you are truly in a relationship with Jesus Christ, there ought to be a sense of shame when you're caught in these works, in these filthy works of darkness that Paul has listed. Just think of the way that we talk many times. Or an example of this wasn't this is kind of a connection with what we talked about this morning. And this is not a surprise to anybody, but pornography is rampant in our culture today. And again, I mentioned earlier, you can get it just on a click of your phone. And really, sooner or later, whether you're on a news site or different types of things, you can be looking at a news article about something political or even about archaeology in Israel, and the pop-up ads on the side will come up sometimes, and there'll be these things about entertainment stuff. I don't want to look at that. Why is that even on my screen? Sooner or later, in the corrupt world that we're in, unfortunately, we can't always avoid those images, but if we're seeking them out, then we ought to be ashamed. And the Holy Spirit ought to be working in us and saying, "You shouldn't be looking at that. I know it was easy to pull up. You may not have even meant to pull it up, but now it's there. Are you going to get rid of it?" And if there are those that struggle with that, other folks in our congregation that know about that, we can be a light to them and a help to them to see that, to point out that sense of shame that they should have, that they should turn from that and live in the light of Jesus Christ. Not like the world. Really, unspeakable acts of wickedness are now proudly proclaimed over the media. People boast about their sin. They're proud of it. But not believers. We should be shamed and humbled and ask God, please help me, forgive me for this. The light of God really eradicates wickedness like an exterminator with insects. One day Jesus will return and He will eradicate all of the evil. But in the meantime, we ought to be shining the light so that when it comes across the wickedness in the lives of other people in the church, that it eradicates in the sense of they repent and they turn from that. It is a shame, verse 12, to speak of those things. And we ought to be shamed for that. But, and again, this idea here in verse 13, all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And that same concept that I just talked about, the deeds of darkness made clear by the light of a relationship with Jesus in the light of the Word of God. And by the way, the more that you're in God's Word, the more the light of truth will shine in your life. We mentioned this earlier, but Jesus wants all of our life. He wants every part of it. And as He shines His light through His Word and we give more of ourselves to Him, He will show us those areas of darkness. You know what? That's filthy. You need to get rid of that. That's dirty. That's dirty thoughts. That's dirty viewing. That's a dirty action. Get rid of that. You're the children of light now. That shouldn't be a part of your lifestyle. Finally, verse 14. Wherefore He saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now here we have one of two things. Paul may be loosely quoting the Old Testament again. It might be possibly Isaiah 68 verse 18. Just read that for you. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. For the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. Now, it could be that, but I actually think there's the other option is probably the better option, that it's a stanza, a verse from an early church hymn. Because really, and this doesn't really fit that verse, the concept does from Isaiah and the themes of Isaiah. We really don't have that verse in specific in the Old Testament. So I think, as do many scholars, that Paul is quoting a well-known early church hymn, that we have evidence here of one of the hymns that they would sing. What is that again? Awake, thou that sleepeth, and arise from dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Notice in this hymn, it contains scriptural concepts and directs people to the truth of Christ. Now, you know, as a side note here, you know my testimony about music, and that especially in the 80s and early 90s, I was really into contemporary Christian music and feeding myself in that way. And I didn't have a lot of teaching and understanding about why that was wrong. One of the things, I will say this, though, about contemporary Christian music in the 80s and 70s and 80s, there was just a lot of it that was really just weird. A lot of strange stuff in groups in the 80s that I don't even want to go into tonight, but trying to fit themselves to every model of rock music that was out there, and you really ended up with some weird things. But one of the characteristics that was concerning about contemporary Christian music, and still is in some quarters, but especially back then in the earlier days, was that the message really was very watered down. And there were a lot of songs that I listened to, and if you would have heard them, or other people would have heard them, or even a secular audience, they wouldn't have known that that person was saying anything about Jesus or about the Bible at all. It might have been just sounded like a nice love song. Or some of them were so strange that people, I remember some people that I knew that probably weren't saved were listening to a couple of songs that I listened to, and they just kind of looked at it like, what in the world are those words talking about? They just didn't understand at all. I didn't understand what the artist meant either. And one of the things that we see here, I think, with this emphasis that Paul has on a hymn, is that our music ought to reflect closely Scripture. scriptural guidelines, scriptural principles. It ought to be, it ought to contain scripture in it as well, just like this hymn that Paul is bringing out here. That's a side note here as far as this hymn is concerned, but I think it's important when we're talking about music. But this, as we finish up here, this verse may sound like it's actually calling someone to accept the gospel, but I think in actuality it's referring to believers, because the whole concept, the whole context is talking about believers that need to wake up and do the right things. So what he's saying here, he's using this church, early church hymn, to say to believers, spiritually dull believers, you must wake up. Stop acting as if you're dead. Stop following the dark deeds of the flesh. You have new life in Christ. So do what's right. And the light of Jesus will energize your own reflection of His light. In other words, when we follow Jesus' light, we'll be a better reflection of His light and we'll guide other people from their sin to the right way. So as we finish up here, this message today, follow the light. It's really simple in the end. When we follow the light of the Savior, others will be attracted to us. When we follow the darkness of the world, folks will look at us and say, why do I want that? I already live like that. Why do I want to follow after what you're following after? But the more we're in Jesus and learning about Him and praying and learning from His Word about who He is, the brighter we shine. I had a couple games in our youth group, and we played them in the gymnasium indoors, and they were glow-in-the-dark games, and I had a football and some other things that when you would shine a light on them, they would glow. And so we would play these games and we would divide up teams with glow-in-the-dark plastic necklaces and things so we would know which team is which. And I would take, we would turn the lights off and I would take this football, let's say, and I would, in a certain corner of the gymnasium, I would take the spotlight that we had over in the corner and I would shine the light onto the football. And somehow with the ingredients and the chemicals that were in the ball, it would take that light and it would glow, and then I could turn the light off and we could throw it around at least for a good 10, 15 minutes, and it would glow in the dark. It had to be in the light in order to reflect the light. And then it would die off after a while, and, oh, Pastor Brock, we can't see it, so they'd toss it back up and I'd put it under the light again, and then we'd be able to go again. Folks, that's a picture of our lives. We need to be in the light of Christ so that we can be light to a world that needs Jesus. So, are we following the light? Or are we enmeshed in the darkness of the world? I hope this is a call for us to examine that and to be the proper example of the light of Jesus Christ that we need to be. Lord, help us to do this. The commandment is clear. And You give us the ability, we have the Holy Spirit, to be able to follow, to discern, to make right choices, literally, in everything that we do. And yet we still stumble at times. We still get involved in the old deeds of darkness that are unnatural for us now. Father, help us as a church to help each other to accurately reflect the light of Christ. Help us to function in a loving way to do that, that we might as individuals and as a church reflect the love and the holiness of Jesus Christ to a very dark world. We thank You that You'll enable us to do that, for it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.